You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Genesis chapter 28, and hope you've had a good couple days here since Sunday, and looking forward to our new series that we just kicked off last week, entitled Stones of Remembrance. And there were men and women in the Bible had a unique way of committing things to memory. And if there was something, if you were not here last week, if there was something that was particularly special to them, they would set up a pillar or set up a stack of stones. I don't know if it looked like the one on the screen there. I found that image on Unsplash. I don't know. But they would set up a stack of stones as a memorial to remind them of something very specific. And you'll see this throughout the Bible, and we're taking that, those stones of remembrance, and we'll hit several of these through Scripture, and we're going to really kind of focus in on the idea of weapons for mental warfare, because this is dealing with remembering things in our minds, and so that's kind of the avenue that we're hitting as we're getting into April now, and next month, of course, our Mental Health May. We're talking about that a lot, and again, a lot of messages there, but I think this is going to help us go right into that, this study here in this passage, or this series that we're in. And so last week, we saw with Jacob, we had a reminder of promises. That was one of the stones they set up as a reminder of some promises that were made. But tonight, I want you to see from this scripture passage, we're going to look at a reminder of God's presence. A reminder of God's presence. And again, so in this series, we're looking at biblical truths that the Bible characters wanted us to remember, or wanted to remember, and that we should remember. And when we're talking about our minds, our battlefield, what you choose to think about, what you choose to notice, what you choose to remember, that all plays a role in your spiritual mental health. What you choose to think about, what you choose to notice in life. Some people are pessimistic, you know, it's the cup is half empty. You know, the pessimist says my cup is half empty, the optimist says my cup is half full, but the Christians should say my cup runneth over. That's what we ought to be saying. And so there is a mental warfare. What you choose to remember, all of that matters. So let's look at Genesis chapter 28. And notice a pillar that was set up to be a reminder of God's presence. Genesis 28, look at verse number 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, the south. We're talking about the dust of the earth. It's gonna cover the earth. It's gonna be a lot of people. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Father, please bless us now as we are looking at your word and we're trying to dig in and find out some things that, Lord, you want us to know. You want us to remember. you want us to consider and think about. And so guide us in our Bible study tonight and use the message to be a help and blessing and to stir us up in our spiritual warfare, in our spiritual lives. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's the context of this story? In other words, what's the surrounding events happening? Jacob's running away. That's what Jacob is doing. Chapter 27 is when Jacob has just stolen the birthright from, or cheated, the birthright from his older brother away. And up until this point, we really don't know much about Jacob. We don't know much about his personality other than the fact that he is a conniver and a trickster. He doesn't really have much of an identity beyond that at this point. And his mom and dad have now sent him away to try to protect him because of his own doing. Now, obviously, his mom had a hand in that, and his dad had a hand in it, and that's a whole other story. But what we know of Jacob is that he had cheated or kind of tricked his brother Esau out of giving away his birthright, or the bowl of soup, the bowl of pottage, that he had said, oh, you're really hungry? Yeah, just give me your birthright, no big deal. And so he gave, and of course, Esau was at fault with that too, but he tricked him out of that. And now he has taken away the blessing of the birthright by, remember, he goes and his mom says, hey, hurry up and kill the goat and put it on so your dad, because he's blind, when he feels, it'll feel like Esau because Esau's really hairy, and go make the meat and then he'll bless you instead of Esau. And that's what he did. He tricked his brother out of that, and the blessing of the birthright was a big deal back in that day. There were so many blessings that went along with that, and he stole that away from his brother. He trickster, conniver. And so Esau comes back, gets mad, but his mom and vows to kill Jacob, and Jacob is now on the run. And now Jacob comes face to face and meets with God. Now, let me say this. This is the first experience that we know of that Jacob had with God face to face. This is the first one where he's living with mom and dad. And mom and dad knew God. Obviously, Isaac knew God. Obviously, Isaac's father, Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, knew God. But did Jacob really know God at this point? All we know about Jacob is he tricked this person, he tricked this person, and he probably did a lot more tricking along the way than those two things. But now, he is having an experience with God himself. And I think, first of all, before we dig into that, everyone in here needs to have that themselves. So here's what I'm saying. So many times maybe if you grew up in church, you've grown up into an environment where your family knew God. Your mom had experiences with the Lord. Your dad got prayers answered. Your grandmother, man, she knew the Bible and you knew that she knew God, but you didn't. And so you've lived with people, or maybe you went to church and it was a youth pastor, a pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, and other people know God, and other people have had God experiences where they met face to face with the Lord, but you haven't had that. That is the first step. You have to have those yourself. You have to, and if you've never had that, then boy, are you really saved, because that's the first experience of really coming face to face with the Lord. And so many young people, I think, and even adults can be plugged into someone instead of being plugged into God. And that's why when somebody leaves church, they pull people with them, because that person was not plugged into the Lord like they should have been. So the first stop there that we just want to look at, and that was all free, that's not even on your notes, but just to say, let's make sure that we have those individual experiences ourselves with God. Now, again, first that we can tell that Jacob had. But chapter 28 that we're in, very famous story here. Look at verse 12. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth. You've heard of Jacob's ladder. You know, some people can take like the yarn and stuff and can do like this weird thing and make what they call Jacob's ladder. I don't even understand how they do all that. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. Jacob's ladder is a very famous story in Scripture here. Now, he's obviously having a dream, and he set up his pillows for the stone for a pillow, and he dreams of a ladder reaching from earth to heaven. And what does he see? At the top of the ladder, he sees God, and up and down the ladder, he sees angels coming up and down. Now, you say, what's the spiritual significance of all this? Well, really, the main spiritual significance is this, that it is a type of Jesus Christ. Jacob's ladder is a type of Jesus Christ. See, well, how? Because the ladder was connecting earth and heaven. God at the top, Jacob at the bottom. How can Jacob have communication with God? How can man get to be with God? There must be a mediator. There must be something or someone that connects God and man. And that's the mediator. That's the man Christ Jesus. And so because of Jesus Christ, communication from earth to heaven is open. And so that is really the main typology that we see there. In fact, in the book of John, you say, Pastor, can I just fill in a blank, please? We'll get there in a minute, all right? And just fill one in if you want to, and we'll get there in a minute. But John chapter 1, verse 51, Jesus said this, listen to this. And he saith, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's the ladder. He's the way. He's the way from earth to heaven. He's the way to communicate from earth to heaven with God. Beautiful picture. Just want to share that with you. Now look at verse 15 here. Keep in mind, we're talking about God's presence. Look at verse 15. And this is what God said. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, I love those because in the New Testament it tells us that God's with us and he'll not leave us nor forsake us. I'm with thee. I'll go with you. I will keep you on your journey. I'll bring you where you're supposed to go. That's a beautiful thing. Verse 16, Jacob says, man, God is here. This is the place. God is here. Now, fill this in, please. Jacob may or may not have been aware that the Lord is everywhere. We don't know if he knew that. Some people are like, he knew it. We don't know if he knew that. Because the Bible says in other passages, tells us about God being everywhere. Jeremiah 23, 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? I love this. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Psalm 139, 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, David said? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? In other words, I can't go anywhere where you're not. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we call this, fill this in, God's omnipresence. You've heard omnipotence, for the Lord, God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipresence, omniscience, it means he is everywhere present at the same time. All present, omni. That's God's omnipresence. Now keep this in mind. Because he is omnipresent, and we're dealing tonight with God's presence. So where is God's presence? Everywhere, all right? So think about that as we're thinking about the times where we feel lonely and we think about God is not here, and the devil's like, you're all alone, there's no one here to care for you. God is omnipresent. Let's keep that in mind as we go through here. Now look at verse 17. This is so interesting to me. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Dreadful, to inspire awe. It means reverence or fear. It's not, this is a terrible place. No, he's saying this is a fearful, awe-inspiring place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. It looks like Jacob thought that he had accidentally stumbled upon the portal from heaven to earth. Like, it looked like he was like, well, I found it, you know? Like, it was a confusing thing to him, and he wasn't really understanding what was happening there, and he was afraid of this scene before him and of God's presence. Now, look at verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his... Now, first of all, let's just stop. You thought your pillows were bad. And you're like, We went to a hotel recently. I forget where it was. It was the worst pillows I've... They were this big. The pillows... I thought like, these are for like the couch. No. They were on the bed and they were this big and they were rock hard. And but that still was not as bad as a literal stone for a pillow, okay? So just remember that when you're tempted to complain about your orthopedic pillow or whatever it is, all right? Look at verse 18. It says that he set it up for a pillar. Now that word is talking about a memorial stone. Then he poured oil on the top of it. Fill this in, please. That's an act of consecration. He's saying, there's something holy here, and I want to consecrate this. And in Numbers 7, Moses did that to the tabernacle. He was pouring oil and anointing everything to say, this is holy. We're setting this apart. We're consecrating this for God. And then he calls the place Bethel. Bethel means house of God. Beth is house. El is God. House of God. And so that's where we get that term there, of Bethel, what it means. Now let me give you some thoughts about God's presence here tonight. First of all, let me say this. Rejoice in God's presence. Rejoice in God's presence. He was scared, but he also recognized there was something special going on. And I want to just say, when God shows up, don't be in a hurry. When God shows up, spend time there and enjoy it. You never know when God might show up in a greater way, in a different spot. Sometimes in some places, God seems to just show up in a greater way. Maybe you have felt God's presence in a church service in a greater way. Maybe you have felt God's presence in your Bible time in a great way. Maybe it was in your prayer time where you felt, man, God is here. God is with me. Maybe it was in a hospital room where there was just a sweetness and you could sense that, man, God was just there. And when those type of events happen, I would say rejoice in that, because not every day is like that. It was Brother Cavanaugh, who's been to our church and has preached here, but he's with the Lord now. He died, passed away last year of a heart condition. But about 10 years ago, his heart stopped beating. And his wife was pounding on his chest to get him to come back to life. And he did. God gave him 10 or 12 more years of life after that. But he was in the hospital. His family gathered around. They were singing songs like, "I Can Trust Jesus," because they thought he was going to pass away. And we invited him to our church after that. He came and he preached. He did a couples conference and a singles conference at the same time. Probably too much for him to do, but he did that. And this was about 5 years ago. And he sat at our kitchen table and he told us, he said, "I can't even tell you." He said, "When I had basically died and come back," he said, "I had to fight with everything in me to come back." He said, "Because I wanted to go." And we're just, you know, we're just riveted. We're just, no one's speaking. We're just listening. And to him say this. And he said, "I felt the presence of the Lord in a stronger way than I have ever in my life felt it. He was with me in the room. He was there." And he said, and he's just weeping, telling this. And he said, "I've never felt the warmth and the grace of God's presence like that ever before." And then he continued to weep and he said, "And every day since then, it's gradually gone away more and more." Because he was on death's door. And I just think every time I start to doubt or worry or think about death or whatever, I remember that story. I remember that. Someone who was in God's presence so much, literally died and came back to life. There's a presence there. I remember when I was in college, I'd walk home from church, and the dormitories were, you know, I don't know, a couple blocks away from the church. And so we had time. And I remember just walking down the street at night and just looking up at the sky. I'd walk alone. It was dark. And just pray the entire way back and just be so thankful and so excited that I get to serve God. And I look back upon some of those times and those memories of God's presence. Have you ever been praying where you stopped looking at the clock? Where you were praying and it's like, how long has it been? I've been praying for that long. Have you ever prayed and didn't want to leave? Where you were praying and you were on your knees, or you've got your prayer list out, and it's like, I know I've got to go do this. I've got this responsibility, but man, I really don't want to leave because of how great this prayer time is. Have you ever studied the Word of God and you're getting such riches out of it that it pains you to have to pull away and do something else? And I want to say, if we're never having those, we are missing out on the presence of God like he wants us to have. He is available and he is wanting to speak to us. But we have to hurry away to do something else. The game starts in an hour. Oh, I got this or that. And you cannot rush God's presence. But when you've had it and when you've tasted that glory divine, you crave it. You think, man, I want to get back. I want to get back to the presence of God. And it's not always a feeling. Sometimes we, as Christians, we chase feelings. This is not a feeling. Not necessarily. Because God's with us all the time. But have you had that? Where it was like, man, I just want to rejoice because surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I've been in church services that I didn't want to end. I've been in camp meetings that I didn't want to end. I've been in prayer times that I didn't want to end. Because I know the next day, it won't be the same. When you have it, rejoice in it. But secondly, request it. Request God's presence. Daily basis, are you seeking that? Are you seeking, and I'm not talking about just, well, I just want that good feeling. I need that hit of dopamine. I need that hit like a drug addict. No, I'm talking about I want to be in God's presence because, boy, who else's presence is greater than God's? Where else would I rather be? Are you asking God to show up in your Bible time? Are you asking God, God, I'm going to pray, and I want you to just show up, and I want us to have a prayer time. Do you pray at church? God, I want your presence at church. Because I will tell you, if you come to church prepared for God's presence, there is a much greater chance of you experiencing that than if you just come to church cold. And a lot of times people come to church cold and they haven't even thought about God. And it's like, all right, charge us up. That's not the correct way to go to church. The correct way is you get in the Bible, they got prepared. When they were making their trek to Zion, they were getting things in order. It was a big event. And I tell you, there's some times when I come into church and I step up to the pulpit, and before I even say anything, I can sense that, man, people in here are ready to hear from God. And then there's many times I'll come up to the pulpit and I'll think, okay, it's time to wake the dead. I'm just being honest with you. And sometimes I'm coming up thinking, God, wake me up because I'm dead tonight. Here we go. But I tell you, when you get your heart prepared before church, you will always get more out of church. So get prepared for church before you walk through the doors. God, meet with us tonight. God, do something tonight. God, work in my heart tonight. Do that before you come to church. And you'll get so much more out of church if you would. And when you're asking God for his presence, you're going to be mindful of it when he shows up. You're going to say, okay, God's here tonight. God's working in me tonight. Number three, remember God's presence. Remember God's presence. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's Jacob setting up a stone saying, I want to remember that this is where the presence of God met with me. Remember it. Write this in, please. Sometimes we go through trials. It can seem like God's so far away. Sometimes when we go through trials, you think, well, in trials, God draws close to you. Sometimes you don't feel that. Sometimes in your trials, you feel like, where is God? Remember Job? You ever heard that name? Yeah, we know Job, right? Job is like, I go over here to look for you, God, but you're not there. Read Job 23. And, you know, God, I look over here and you're not there. And everywhere I go, God, you're nowhere. Then he says, but hey, when you try me, I'll come forth as gold. But he was looking for God's presence. Sometimes in trials, it can seem like God's far away. How about this? Sometimes when we fall in sin, it can seem like God is far away. Because the devil will step right in. The devil would love to be in your presence when you sin. He'll come in and say, oh man, you know what? God's 10,000 miles away from you, buddy. Hey, God didn't want anything to do with you. You think you ought to pray right now? You think really God wants to hear from you? When the answer is absolutely God wants to hear from you, and God wants to hear that repentance, and then God wants to restore you immediately, but the devil's like, man, you better give it some time. You better just stay back away from church. You know, as a sinner that you are, you better give it some time because, you know, God doesn't want anything to do with you. And if you come to God right now, he's going to be mad. He's going to look to squash. And the devil is constantly doing this garbage. And so we got to remember, no. I want God's presence. I want that. God is there for you whether you feel that he is there or not. He is there. Remember that. God's presence is permanently with you because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Permanently. So, well, Pastor, what do I do if I don't feel his presence? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The answer is not to run away from God when you sin. The answer is not to run away from God when there's a trial. No, you run to God. You draw nigh to God. Amen? All right, just want to make sure you're with me. Remember God's presence, request it, rejoice in it. But can I say fourthly, Return to God's presence. Return. For some people in this room, it's been a long time since you felt God's presence in your life, if you're honest. Or since you've even sought His presence. Maybe you've been away from God for a long time. And maybe you've even come to church, but you've still been away from God. And maybe tonight it's time to return. It's time to get back to God's presence. I got a text today from a friend of mine. And he was just in our church recently with his senior class. And I spoke at their teen camp last year up at in Santa Clara. And he texted me and he said, "Brother Reynolds, just want you to know," he called me Eli, we're friends. He's like, "Eli, I just wanted you to know that such and such, some teenage boy in their youth department today, just told me he's been struggling with a long time about giving his life to God. He's been struggling with it, and he knows that he should have, but he didn't. And he told me today, that's it. He said, I cannot get the message out of my mind that Eli Reynolds preached, Brother Reynolds preached, about hitting the snooze button on the alarm clock. He said, I haven't been able to get that out of my mind, and I'm done fighting. I'm giving my life to the Lord." He said, "I just want to remind you, it's not in vain. Stay with it. Stay loving God." And I read that text message, and I was like, man, that's really encouraging. Except I never preached that message. I texted him back, and I was like, I think this discouraged me, actually. I texted him back, and I said, "That's great, brother. But to be honest, I've never preached a message on that in my life. But I'm excited for him that he gave his life to the Lord." God has a way of just bringing us to some humility. I didn't even know if anything ever happened with you know, that teen camp. You know, sometimes God humbles us. God does things to just say, come on back. Get back. Get back to the presence of God. Look, I don't even have time for this. I've only got a couple minutes. But I want to just let you know that if you jump ahead later on, this is your homework, and read seven verses, Genesis 35, 1 through 7, God brings Jacob back to Bethel. After all these years with Laban, after getting Leah, and then getting Rachel, and then these 20 years of serving, and it's been like 20 to 30 years after this, God brings him back to Bethel, and he calls the name of it a different name. He calls it El Bethel then. He says, now it's called the God of the house of God. And he brought him back. Why? Jacob had allowed some things in his life. If you read it, you'll see that he had allowed some images. His wife had some false images and things, and God told him, all right, get rid of all that. And God brought him back to a place to clean house. If you've wandered away from your prayer closet, I want to say it's time to get back to Bethel. If you've wandered away from your Bible time, it's time to return back to Bethel. If you've wandered away from your faithfulness to church or Sunday school, it's time to get back to Bethel. I was going to have us go to the song in the songbook. Again, I'm out of time. But song 407, our hymnals, "Back to Bethel, I Must Go." The whole song is back to my prayer life, it says. Back to the Bible, it says in one verse. Back, getting back to where you're supposed to be. Lastly, I want to say this. Remain in God's presence. Remain in it. Never leave it. You don't have to. God is always with you. You don't have to leave God at home and go to work. All right, Lord, see you in 8 hours. Hope traffic goes well. If not, it'll be 9. You don't have to do that. God is with you everywhere. And you can acknowledge that. Pastor Smith, the pastor that hired me here, he used to say, practice the presence of God. And what he meant by that was just to live each day realizing that God's presence is always with you. I mean, think about what you would do different if Jesus walked with you physically throughout your day. Would you be looking at the stuff on Instagram you're looking at? Would you be looking at the stuff on television? Would you be talking like that to your friends? Would you act like that at the sports game? What would you do differently if Jesus was with you? That's pretty convicting to me. I want to practice the presence of God. Because John 15 tells us that Christ is in me and I'm in him. We abide together as the vine and the branches. But dwell with him. It's wonderful. Remain there. Remain every day. Acknowledge God's presence throughout the day. Just keep him always, keep a ready heart to pray at all times. And I ask you as we close, what are you facing today? There's anxiety in your heart. Maybe there's fear over something. Maybe there's PTSD over some trauma in your past. Maybe there's anger. What if you could get into God's presence for a while? And you could just sit with the Lord. Can I ask you, what would you possibly fear? In the presence of God, what would you be anxious about? In the presence of God, what trauma could God not mend? He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. What anger would you feel? You want mental peace? Hey, get to the presence of God. That's what's lacking, is the presence of God in our life. 24/7. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Three questions to leave you with tonight. This message has been deeply convicting to me personally, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. My questions for you to think about are, when did you first meet with God? Maybe this week, take some time and remember that. When you first knew, ooh, God's real. And God's talking to me. Secondly, do you have, here's the blank, memories. Do you have memories of enjoying his presence or hearing his voice? Think back through the years. Has there been times at church or in your Bible time or prayer time or somewhere else where you're like, man, I know God was there. Remember those things. And then lastly, let me ask you this. When's the last time you felt his presence or heard his voice in your heart? Heard his voice in your heart. And if you're like, I don't remember the last time, then let's seek God's face tonight. Let's get back to just saying, Lord, my heart is steadfast on you. I want your presence today. I need it.